It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Congratulations. You're off work and you get ready to the weekend. Get your beer, get your drink, get your Coors Light or...
me a Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
That's right. Now get me a Angry Orchard, whatever you're doing, but congratulations. Get your weekend set. Here's the news you need to know. The latest here, Houston Texans veteran receiver Kenny Stills by the Texans has been placed on the NFI. That's the non-football illness list. He has been placed on that today. So we'll see what that means. I think we would think right now that, Wade, it may not have to do with COVID, because I think that's the first thing that jumps out to people. They have a COVID reserve list that players get on if that is the case. This is not what that is right now. Kenny Stills has been placed on the non-football illness list. Guys who have had mono in the past, that's a list they were placed on. Sam Darnold last year was placed on this list. So we're not sure what the illness is. We'll keep a word out on it. But Kenny Stills missing some training camp, not being there, that is a concern, though.
I will say this, though. A conventional training camp, this would be worse than I think it is this year, because this year there's a lot of virtual learning going on. There's meetings on Zoom. And so he actually could still be in meetings and be at the house because of things, the way things are set up this year. So in this case, it actually is. You got to try to find the silver lining in any kind of situation. When I look at this, Kenny Stills should be able to get the info. They're not really out there on the field hitting or actually running routes with each other yet. That's coming. I think in these days to come, that stuff's going to pick up. So hopefully he can get off of this list sooner than later, because you don't want him to fall behind, especially a guy that you know is trying to compete for playing time, is going to be a critical part in this offense, being as versatile and have the amount of depth that the reason why they got all these guys at the receiver position. So hopefully Kenny can be back sooner than later.
Just stepping in, Kenny Stills, the Texans place Kenny Stills, wide receiver, on the non-football illness list, which is not the COVID reserve list, which means the thought is right now that's not what the issue is with him. It is something else. Real quick with that, Wade, how much of a part of this offense do you expect Kenny Stills to be? Because right now he would be the fourth receiver behind Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, and then him. But how involved do you think he'll be in this offense?
He should be highly involved in this offense. I think Kenny Stills is better than what a lot of people might rank him. He's better than Randall Cobb, but Randall Cobb is a specialist as the slot position, so Randall Cobb is probably going to get more snaps than Kenny Stills. And my thing is trying to figure out, how do you utilize all of these guys? It's like Kenny Stills is that perfect substitute for a guy that goes out with an injury that is a one or two receiver. Kenny Stills can be put in that role if Will Fuller goes down and there's not that much of a drop-off. That's what you're going to hope out of Kenny Stills. But if he's not there now, the health of everybody at that position, just the worry about them, the concern goes up tremendously, and you don't want to have to deal with that. So getting Kenny Stills back, it's important. He's going to be a key part of this offense if it wants to get to the next step and be better than what it was last year and to become a top 10 offense. And that's what a lot of people have been talking about, is can this offense be a top 10 offense? If you remove Kenny Stills from it, I think it'll be very difficult to do.
5 o'clock fire.
Clint Sterner is out today. Ron, the show, Hughley, Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is in with us today. And, man, the injuries seem to keep hitting the Astros, and there is no shortage of that today.
Oh, God!
And they seem to keep finding really important players. George Springer left last night's game early, and it has turned out it was a wrist injury. He suffered a wrist strain, and he is out for tonight's game. The lineups have Miles Straw in center field and Kyle Tucker leading off. Well, that's not it, though. We'll come back to him. More injury news. The Astros had to put Austin Pruitt on the 60-day injured list, which looks like that will end his season. He was a guy that was thought to maybe be able to bring help in the bullpen, someone that, you know, hadn't thrown for the first time in the major leagues this year. But he is out with an elbow injury, 60 days. So Springer out and Austin Pruitt. But Springer is the one that you're looking at. And man, this is such a big series against the A's. You hope he's able to get back into this tomorrow.
Man, the Astros need a healing, dog. They need somebody Mr. to come Miyagi over there and to lay hands on him. Mr. Miyagi, the Church of Latter-day Saints. I don't care who it is. Somebody needs to go over there.
Booker.
A massage therapist.
Hold on, Joe.
Not
chiropractor.
Losis. Not Losis massage therapist. She breaks ribs, but a massage therapist.
Definitely not Carlitos. But I tell you what.
I like that.
George Springer was just coming out of his funk with that bat. Yeah, and then was. Now he goes down with injury. It's just been one of those type of years so far for the Astros. Like, they've, you know, what could go wrong has gone wrong so far when it comes to the health of some of their best players, a lot of the key position players that they have on the roster. And so, next man up, you know, Kyle Tucker's going to be leading off. You got Miles Straw going to be at center field. Those guys, do you expect a lot out of them? No. Do I expect them to pick up the slack for George Springer? No. But there are guys that I thought played well yesterday. Altuve and Bregman had some key hits late in the ball game.
Big skill.
Those guys are going to have to continue along that line. And Greinke's got to do what he's got to do tonight to give them a chance to win this game. Greinke's going to do what he's going to do.
I like your voice.
I mean, I appreciate that, Zach. You know, I like yours too. I will tell you what, Greinke, if he goes out there and gives you six strong, Astros will win the game. I'm just going to put it on that. If Greinke can give you six strong, he can get you to the seventh inning, and then you pass the ball off to somebody else, the Astros will win against the A's.
I've learned my confidence on the Astros. They had me eating a banana and hot sauce earlier this week. Thanks, Jose.
So how many bad bets you going to make when you get here since you've been? You've made a lot of bad
that
bets.
That was a good one, Jose, get two hits. He led off the game with a homer. Jose
Altuve. I would bet my left testicle.
Don't ever bet that.
I don't remember saying that either. Here's the thing, George Springer. George Springer's out tonight, and they're leading off Kyle Tucker. Wait, I think Los Correa, he can't be batting sixth.
Los!
Not when George is out. Like, to me, he's got to come up. I said put him in a leadoff hole. I'm one that believes you put your best hitters, your hottest hitters. And right now, him and Brantley are the best hitters on the team right now. Kyle Tucker's going to get more at-bats tonight than Los Correa.
He's got the Ted Williams, man. Let him swing and let him do what he do. I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times, as a manager, you don't want to mess up something that is working well. And Correa's been in that sixth hole, and he's dominating right now. He's playing at a very, very high level. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. There's certain things that you got to tinker with. Maybe that's one that he's saying, you know what, I'm not finna mess with Carlitos. I'm going to let him do what he does and let him stay where he stays. And so he's in the sixth hole. I wouldn't mind him moving up in the lineup. I agree with
somewhere.
That. I just putting somebody, going from the sixth hole to the one hole is night and day. And so I don't think he wants to tinker with it too much in that regard.
Yeah, we got 48 games here, folks. 48 games here.
That's
left.
It. It's
and,
a sprint, baby.
And Carlos Correa, we got Kyle Tucker leading off. All right, we'll see. We'll see.
She knows.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, 5 o'clock fire. The Rockets defeat the Lakers last night. The Lakers did not have LeBron James, but the Rockets also did not have Russell Westbrook. James Harden was simply James Harden last night, and they win 113-97. The thing I think that comes out of there, because it wasn't a huge game, right? The TNT's probably ticked off when they put that on. They thought they were going to have, you know, LeBron and AD versus Harden and Westbrook, and hell, they only got two of them, and AD didn't seem really interested after the first half. But they do hold the four seed right now, which I think is big. That win, to me, there's a 96% chance that they can avoid the seventh seed. That about sealed it right there, which I guess is the important part of it.
Yeah, you have full confidence that the Rockets are going to be favored, and you're going to expect them to win in the first round of the playoffs. And coming into this reseeding time, they had a legitimate chance of being the seventh seed and having to deal with the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs. They've played their way into a position to where now they're going to be out of that role against the Clippers. And so you got to be excited about that. You got to be excited about the fact that you're seeing them hitting from the three-point line. That's always going to be key with this iteration of the Houston Rockets, because Harden's going to get his buckets, but the other guys are going to have to hit their open looks. And they did that last night. And if they do that, they can compete with the big boys. They can go toe-to-toe with the teams from L.A.
We talked about this. If they can be 3 through 6, there's really not a lot of difference because there's no home court advantage. and they know they're going to play either the Jazz, Oklahoma City, or Denver. That's the grouping, and you feel pretty good if you're the Rockets with that. It'll be interesting to see when Mike D'Antoni starts to shut it down a little bit. But, Wade, because I still think they still – I don't even know if they have 20 games since they've turned over this small ball thing. So I still think they need to get some understanding of how exactly they want to play, especially defensively with that small ball line.
So the thing about the NBA is if you have the best player on the court, most likely you're going to win a playoff series.
Yeah.
And they have the best two players on the court against all of those teams you mentioned. You're talking about Utah and Denver and what was the other one?
Chris
Phoenix.
Paul's.
I mean, not Phoenix, but
Oklahoma City.
Like,
Chris Paul's.
They have the best players on the court, so you expect them to do well against them. Where they have to take that next step comes into play when you're talking about the defensive end. They're going to have to play high-level defense with the small ball against those Giants that are down there in L.A. with the Clippers and the Lakers. And so they have time to continue to work through that and get that part of their game adjusted. I've liked what I've seen out of the Rockets so far. They started off slow against the Mavericks. But I really liked what I saw against the Bucks. And so last night really didn't tell me one way or the other because LeBron wasn't there. But as long as those guys are hitting open looks, there's good ball movement, I'm a fan of that for the Rockets.
And coming up Sunday, they're back in action Sunday where it'll be really, really difficult for them to get up for the Sacramento Kings. And why would it not? Who's excited to slay?
It's the Kings, man. How did they get it?
5 o'clock fire.
Yeah, they shouldn't even be.
How are they?
What them in Washington? What the hell are they doing?
I'm confused.
All right, this weekend to me, I think potentially a lot of eyes will be on the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods. He's teed off here in the second round. And listen, we talk about golf. He's the guy that people come to the table a lot to watch. He had a pretty good first round, 268. He's through four holes. He's 1-under, 7 off the lead. I just need him to give me something. I'm a Tiger guy. I need him to give me something so I can be excited for the weekend.
Listen, you're a Tiger guy. Everybody that pays attention to golf in passing or that are diehard golf fans, they have a celebration dance every time that he makes the cut.
You
and
got
so,
one too?
I mean, I don't have a celebration dance, but I will watch when I see Tiger out there. Other times, I'm here and there all over the place. But if he's out there on day 3 and 4 of a tournament, I'm watching. And so everybody wants to see Tiger do well, and hopefully he can make that happen.
No,
this music, man?
He's trying to go the Masters, I feel like.
This is Masters music.
Is this
okay.
The Jim Nance Master?
Like,
hello, Prince.
Okay, I was like, what's going on?
Hello,
I started getting sleepy, man.
A tradition like unlike any other.
We don't play that kind of music at the golf course,
CBS.
Bro. At least I don't. You know, I ain't going to speak for sure.
Speaking,
but that's not the type of music I'm going to play when I'm at the golf course.
I'm playing Jeezy. But speaking of what, I found it really weird when I watched I was watching the PGA when I got home.
Yeah.
I didn't think in golf I would miss fans. It's weird.
Is it weird?
It's weird to me without the crowd there. Like Tiger had the 30-foot putt. And I don't know why I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Like people can see me. But Tiger had the 30-foot putt. And I'm waiting for somebody to say, "Get in the hole!" And nobody's there to say it. And I'm like, damn, man, where's the crowd? I didn't think I would miss it in golf.
I think basketball has done an excellent job
of their
watchability and you not realizing that there are no fans there. They do an excellent job. They're the best. They're the standard bearer when it comes to the market. You know, baseball, it just looks like you're watching a game that's it's a day baseball game in the middle of July where nobody's really at the game. So they're not bad there. Golf, I think they're all right, man. They're not the best, but they are all right, man.
I didn't know I was going to miss it.
I expected to be quiet anyway.
I didn't know it was going to get to me. I did not. All right, that's 5 o'clock fire coming up, man. Last night to me was more than just one game in that pathetic loss for the Astros. To me, it was bigger than that. And we know where the blame should go. And those that are saying it's on Dusty Baker, you're just plain wrong. We'll get into that coming up next.
Somebody get me a drink.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint Sterner out today. Be back on Monday. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is in with us today. And, man, I saw it on the text line already. The Astros need A.J. Hinch. Dusty, here from the text line from the 832, and I just try to imitate you. Don't you think Dusty could get off his fat ass and at least walk out to the mound? I mean, he did. And
for
he
sure.
does.
For
and he
sure.
does a lot.
For sure. He does walk to the mound a lot, especially with this pitching staff, but sure. A.J. Hinch, if he was still here, these are his players. These are his guys. So, inherently, it would be a very better scenario for the Astros if he was still here. But he got caught up in the mix. He's gone. Dusty is here. I don't see Dusty Baker doing a bad job. I feel like he's been dealt a bad hand. There's no other team in baseball that have had this type of injury streak with these caliber of players. And so I'm not mad at what's going on. I'm not mad at what I'm seeing out of Dusty Baker. He's making moves based off of very limited participation in a very weird scenario in the midst of a pandemic. Basically, everything that you could come up with that would go against him being just doing things normally has happened this year. And so that's why you're 6-6. But Dusty Baker is not the reason why the Astros are a 500 team right now. It's the injury bug.
I give Dusty Baker one game, the second Dodgers game, where in extra innings he had three different opportunities to get runners over and bunt guys like Toro and bunt guys like Kyle Tucker, and he didn't.
We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
I think out of those three, I think one of those was legitimate opportunity that he should have bunted. But besides that, I can't rock with that. I remember Landry talking about that. I guess that was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a couple weeks ago. There's so many games so often. It was like a week ago.
Last week.
It was last week. I don't agree with the whole three times, but there was one time. Toro just leave him in the game and let him bunt instead of bringing Toro in to hit. That part,
yeah,
I agree. That was a mistake.
First and second with nobody
that,
out.
Yeah.
First and second. That, no, but I'm just saying three different times he had Altuve up with a runner on second to win the game. I don't have a problem with him bunting. I don't have a problem. Altuve could himself, mm-hmm. could have a professional at bat and not try to hit the ball out of the stands pulling it when all you got to do is hit it the other way and it gets the runner to third. But I think Kyle Tucker should have bunted too. He had a chance to win the game on those three different times. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Do something one of the times. But that's the only game. Last night, what the hell was he supposed to do? What was he supposed to do? Brandon Belak, who pitched his heart out. Lance, I hope you watch that. Lance McCullers, how does it feel today? Christian Javier came in, goes six innings, one run. You go in, you go 3 2/3, eight runs. After the game, oh, they opened up the roof. As an excuse. Coming behind you, Brandon Belak, who had to be scared to death, nervous as hell, his first major league start. He comes in and throws a masterpiece, five innings, one run. My idiot ass was asking for four innings and four runs. He says, shut up, show. He then went and goes five innings, no runs.
Yeah.
Lance, he came out there and showed up. And then Ryan Pressly, you got to get somebody out. You got to get one out. What was he supposed to do? He went to Blake Taylor, who arguably has been his best reliever. Okay, Clint's making us call him Bulldog Taylor. You went to Bulldog Taylor, who is
at least Taylor didn't give the name to himself. So no, as long as you don't give a name to yourself, it's fine.
I did not either, but he went to Bulldog Taylor.
Okay, only hit dogs holler. Is that why you put that out there?
Yes, because he keeps doing it every time, man.
I could appreciate Tyler because I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Ain't nobody said nothing about you, Sean. I don't know what y'all been talking about before while I'm not here, but you sure did speak up really fast. Oh, I ain't give myself that name. What's going on with that, Sean?
I'm just saying, you know, people say that. I didn't give myself that name. It's MySpace story. We'll stay with Dusty. But what is he supposed to do? He went and got Taylor.
Yeah.
And then he brings him in. And then Bregman picks up the bullpen. Ryan Pressly's the person you're supposed to depend on. And that to me, Wade, is the crux of the issue this year with the Astros. The guys they're supposed to be depending on have not shown up in the way that they should have. We talked about Altuve earlier. Come on, man. It's a runner on second base. All you need is a run to win the game. Go drive it the other way. At least attempt to. Their situational hitting has been awful this year, and a lot of it by the players that should be doing what they should be. And then Ryan Pressly, you can't get an out? Not one? Listen, good hell, man.
In life, and especially in baseball, timing is everything. And these guys have not done a good job of having timely hitting when guys in, when people are in, runners are in scoring position, when you need to get that critical out, when you bring in your best reliever that you have left on the roster, the guy that went to the All-Star game in 2019, that's the guy that you would expect to be able to be a closer. But like Richard Justice said earlier when we talked to him on the show, he was saying, like, listen, it's a difference between being the setup man and being a closer. It's just a different mentality. It's a different approach. And not all guys, not everybody can be put in that role. Not everybody is able to be what you might hope them and wish them and want them to be. And so that's why I asked him that question specifically. Is Ryan Preston the closer for this team? Maybe he needs to be in the setup role. Maybe give somebody else an opportunity, a Josh James you move him into the bullpen. He's got to do something
I'd like him. I called it before. I said he should move in and just throw two pitches. His 98 to 100 and a changeup plays well. I'm not ready to put him a closer. Yeah. I think Bulldog Taylor should be the closer. And I am one that what Richard Justice said, I think that Ryan Pressly was an all-star setup guy. I think that should be his job. The eighth and the ninth, you got to have a certain mentality.
Yeah.
Bulldog Taylor went up to Dusty Baker before the season started and told him, I'm going to get you your first championship. Dusty said, son, I'm not sure if you're going to make this team. That's the type of delusion you want from a closer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you have. I think that is the place. But Pressly, man, even if you're not a closer, man, you got to get one out. Paul Goldschmidt didn't come up to the plate. Like, Aaron Judge didn't come up to the plate.
That dude was playing out of his mind, didn't he?
Good hell, man.
Every time I look up, he's hitting a home run. I mean, I think he has like eight now. I mean, it's stupid the way that he's playing and the high level that he's playing. He's on his way to winning MVP. Hopefully he can slow down because the Yankees are going to run away with the East.
Like I just said, man, Dusty, those who are blaming Dusty Baker, to me, man, I just don't know what else he's supposed to do. Like, he literally earlier this week went to the bullpen to bring in a player he's never seen throw.
That's crazy. But that's the predicament that he finds himself in.
Never
this
seen
is
him
the scenario
throw.
He's found himself in. These are guys he's bringing up from Corpus Christi, just bringing up random guys because they need bodies. And so when you're put in a situation like this, you have to take a step back and you can't evaluate it with the same set of eyes that what you would have done on if this was a normal season or if he had all of his bullets in the chamber. This it's just not the case right now. And so the Astros are trying to fight their way through it. The thing about it, though, they lost a bunch of close ball games. The Astros are not getting blown out. The Astros are in every single, and maybe that's why it hurts so much, and maybe that's why it's so frustrating, because they are that close to closing and sealing deals, and they're allowing them to get away from them. But the Astros are they still have that championship mentality. They still have that fight. And so some of these close losses are going to go the other way. That's just the way baseball works. They just got to figure out a way to get healthy. They got to get some more arms in the bullpen, get some more arms in the rotation, and get the guys that are supposed to be your stalwarts, the Zach Greinke's and the Lance McCullers of the world, to be themselves. And if you can get that, then the Astros will get themselves back into the mix.
Yeah, yeah. Clint Sterner and the show. Clint's out. He'll be back on Monday. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is with us. No, I think that's the big point, man. If these guys, you've got to weather the storm. Dusty said he's never had 11 rookies on a team, let alone 11 pitchers on a team before. You got to weather the storm. But the guys who have to be there to pick it up, and I'm sorry, but you got to play flawless baseball right now. Springer, when you're in, I guess can't count him. Bregman, Altuve, Brantley, Correa.
Brantley's been in and out too because of his ankle, man. He's had issues.
The quad,
too.
Yeah. But if you're in, you guys got to come through because Verlander's out, Osuna's out, the bullpen's out. Like, you guys have to step up, Lance. Like, you can't have two outings like that, man. Lance, of all people, Lance, you got to get us out of the fourth. Like, you've had back-to-back starts where you didn't go past four.
And the problem with Lance is the first three innings, he looked damn good, and then the wheels just fell off in the fourth.
Because the roof was open.
I hate that he said that. I wish he would. I mean, I don't know if in. And I didn't hear the actual comments. I just heard you guys kind of discussing the comments.
Well, he said the roof was ass.
But did he say it in a manner where he was joking? Was he saying it in a manner where he was just mad at the world and he was truly using it as an excuse? Like, what was his tone? Do you have that audio?
Yeah, I don't know. Tyler has it. He's going for it. His tone was, to me, screamed excuse.
And that's what you cannot have that. You don't want that. He's a leader on the team. You don't want to hear excuses.
Here's Lance when he was asked about his pitching performance.
Yeah, I mean, opening the roof in the fourth is ass.
Say, play it one more time for me.
Yeah, I mean, opening the roof in the fourth is ass.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I ain't too mad at that.
I think he's very
comfortable in who he's talking to, and he's like, I mean, this is something that you would say to your buddy, I guess.
But you're not talking to your buddies. You're talking to the media. You're on a Zoom call with the media.
I guess those guys have a close relationship. I'm looking at the text line. It said, "Look, the Astros aren't out of the picture. Are having to get back in, into the division race. Yeah, this weekend right here is going to determine if they're going to really win a division." Or not. And so when I say get back into it, that's what I'm referring to. Get back in the mix of really being a division champion and not having to deal with being a wild card team and playing one of the best teams in the American League in the first round. That's what I'm talking about there.
The number one concern that has not been talked about if the Texans can repeat in the AFC South. We'll talk about that coming up next.
So sit back, pull up some yak, indulge in a cigar.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
A lot of fun today. Clint Sterner is out. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is in. I am Ron, the show. Hughley in with you. And Wade, you said you haven't heard a lot of people speak about the number one concern in your eyes if the Texans are going to repeat as champions of the division, because honestly, many people that I see have the Colts or the Titans to win the division. I'm not seeing many people have the Texans, who have the best quarterback by far of the group. I'm not seeing them roll with the Texans. Many are saying the Colts and the Titans. What do you think is the number one concern that hasn't been talked about enough?
I think it's the run defense. You look at what we just talked to John McClain about, 40 minutes ago, whatever it was, and he was talking about the defense's pass rush, and he was talking about the defense being able to cover receivers downfield, talking about the defensive backfield. But to me, when you look at this division, all the teams in the division have bell cow running backs and offensive lines that are geared towards, we're going to control the clock, we're going to be able to run the ball down your throat, and you're going to have to stop us. And we're going to base our pass game off of the run. And well, the Texans lost their best run defender in DJ Reader. And so the thing that you can do to slow down an offense that's supposed to be as explosive as what we think it can be this year for the Texans with all the various weapons they have is to keep Deshaun Watson off the field and keep those weapons of Deshaun on the bench. Well, if you have a run game that can control the clock against the Texans, to me, that's what you'd be able to do. Well, that's what these teams are built. The Colts offensive line, easily top five in the NFL. The Titans offensive line, easily top 10 in the NFL. The Jaguars offensive line, probably top 12, 15 offensive lines in the league. But they have running backs to go along with it, and they have a mentality, we're going to run the ball down your throat. Now, Jacksonville, they're not in this conversation as far as, they're not in this conversation as far as winning the division, but they will beat you up. And if you're playing a team against like the Jaguars, they're going to slow that game down, and they're just going to beat up your guys up front. You lost your best run defender in DJ Reader. I think it's something that people aren't really talking about is that teams figure out ways to beat the best team in their division, right? They build themselves to beat the team in the division. The Texans, historically, over the past 6 years, have been the division champion. So you see the Colts are built the way they are, and the Titans are built the way they are for a specific reason. And the Texans have hurt themselves with the lack of moves on the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line, and the people that have left the building. I think their run defense is going to struggle this year, and that was their biggest strength on that side of the ball last year.
713-572-4610. You can text in. What's your thoughts on that? Is the run defense the biggest concern for the Texans to repeat as champions for the fifth time in 7 years in the AFC South? And, yes, I will agree the run defense is going to be worse. I mean, you know, you lose DJ Reader and, you know, you think you're replacing him with Dunn and Blackson and then obviously Ross Blacklock, who you brought in. But he's much more of a quick twitch pass rusher than he is a run stopper. It will be worse, but for me, Wade, I put the onus of this probably 50% on the Texans offense.
Yeah.
To me, this, like, and that's the first game will be the first chance we get to see it. But this should be a team that is big play, big point. They should be a top five scoring offense with the speed that they have. Top 10, top five. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I'm going to skip.
Yeah, my eyes got wide when I heard that number.
With this offensive line and this weapons, if their mentality is to go and score, if they're going to try, that's what it should be, right? And they should look with – I'm not counting the Jags, but they should look with the Colts and the Texans, mm-hmm. and with the Titans, put the game in Ryan Tannehill and Phillip Rivers' hands. That's what we want to do. And that means punching these teams early, going up and scoring early. And I know that was a struggle for them
last year. You're asking the Houston Texans to start fast in ball games.
I'm asking.
You're asking a lot, Ron. That historically has been an issue around here.
It has been a lot. I'm asking for Deshaun Watson, a top five quarterback in this league, mm-hmm. with speed all around and a really good offensive line with speed in the backfield and versatility in the backfield. I am asking for this group, and I'm putting the onus on them to turn this into a game where the Colts and the Titans feel like they've got to do other things, feel like they can't just give it to Henry. It can't give it to Marlon Mack. And the kid from – what is Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin.
His biggest fan or his biggest idol growing up was Arian Foster. So this kid, he knows what he's – I was praying to the guys that the Houston Texans somehow figured out a way to get Jonathan Taylor here. He's going to be a hell of a football player. He concerns me with the Colts, and that offensive line concerns me. I mean, that is a guy that I feel like is going to have an excellent rookie year, and I think he's going to have an excellent career.
No, I wouldn't disagree. And that offensive line led by Mr. Nelson is a strong, strong group. But if they come out and it's 14-3, Phillip, it's your game. And if it's a Phillip Rivers game, I promise you, just catch these interceptions, baby.
Yeah.
They're coming.
And you're absolutely right. If the Texans can get early leads on ball clubs, that's going to play right into their hands, and it's going to be very difficult for them to come back. You would hope.
Yeah, but shouldn't the way the Texans are built, shouldn't that be a change with that? Because defensively, right, this team is built better to rush the passer. Right, with JJ, the guys in the interior and Blacklock and Whitney, they're more built to rush the passer than to stop the run. Like that's if they're allowed to run upfield and rush the passer, that's what they're better at.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like this, man. The defensive line and the defense front seven in general, if they're healthy, they will be better this year rushing the passer than they were last year. Does that mean it's going to be at a level that is going to allow you to be like the Indianapolis Colts back in the day when they had Freeney and Mathis and they just pinned their ears back and got after quarterbacks because Peyton would get them earlier leads? I don't see that at all. The problem for the Texans is this. When you look at the way that they play offense, they're counterpunchers. And so if you're a counterpuncher and you fill people out and you try to figure out what they're trying to do and then you execute and get better as the game goes on, then you get in early leads in the ball game that they just don't, it doesn't work out the way. That's why the Texans struggle so much in the opening drives of the game. And that's why you saw that the first time that they scored a touch, two times in the year, they scored a touchdown in opening drive. The last game of the season that didn't matter. And then against the Chiefs in the playoffs game. And so because the way their offensive philosophy is, it's tough for me to believe that they're going to jump out to a bunch of early leads. They get better as the game goes on. And so the problem with that is if these teams like the Colts and the Titans get early leads on them, Now they're playing into those teams' hands because they can run the ball down their throat. And then it comes into my number one concern for the Texans is that when it comes to division games, because in the division games, it's the run defense that's the biggest problem. When it comes to outside of division, playing the against the Ravens thing. And the Chiefs, it is the fact that they can't contain and get after the quarterback enough, and it's the DBs that give me the most concern.
Yeah, Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner today. Ron, the show, Hughley, we're discussing what Wade believes is the number one concern if the Texans are going to be able to repeat as division champs. I think I put the onus, and that is the run defense. I put the onus as much on the offense because the way that they're built, they've got to change the way that they are going to approach games. And with the change of personnel, like this is, they've gone a complete 180.
Fast break, speed kills.
That, right? That's
how they're lined up at, yeah.
They didn't just say it. They then went and did it.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And then they let Reader go. They didn't then replace him with a Reader-like player.
Yeah.
They did replaced him with somebody with more speed and twitch. So their moves signify a change. Now, I understand Texans fans, and I know Tyler's looking, and many of you texting, like, all right, I'll believe it when I see it. And listen, what they've given you the last 6 years, you are well within your right to believe that. I just look at, God, if they're going to make those changes, there has to be a change of way they're going to approach games if they're going to go so far. That's the thing that I'm hanging with. They cannot be saying we're going to play the same way with this style of players we have.
I hope you're right. When I see the moves that they made, it seems like to me they made these moves so that they can beat the Chiefs beat the Ravens. But at the same time, while you're making moves to beat these teams that you would get to in the second and third round of the playoffs, you got these teams in your division that went farther than you in the playoff last year, talking about the Titans, and a one that could easily that's being lauded as the division favorite this year in the Colts, that they're right there with you. And if you don't get out of your division, then you don't get a chance to get to the big boys. You don't get a chance to get to the Ravens and the Chiefs. And that's the thing I'm concerned about is that we're transforming our team to beat the big dogs, but these teams that are right there with us in our division, the way they're built is to beat us. And so we might not even get there.
But in the transferring your team, if you change the parts, mm-hmm. you also got to change the way you do business.
I pray
to me,
right,
and that like if you're right. gonna change the parts and do business the same way,
yeah,
that don't make no sense, right? And I think that's where many people stand. I don't think they're going to change the way they do business because to me, yes, I believe they were influenced by the Chiefs playoff game, and they said, damn. We got to get faster.
Yeah.
We got to get faster. I was in the press box for that game. The glaring thing that jumped out was, oh, my God, the speed is completely different all the way across the board. And I felt like they said, we got to get faster. And I think the way that they want to play in that game would still beat the Titans and the Colts if they are getting out and playing fast break and trying to score and dominate teams on offense to get leads. You get out there 14-3, bam! I watched the Titans last year. They were right there, had a 10-point lead in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. Then Pat and the Chiefs went off. In the second half, Derrick Henry got one touch because they felt like they had to throw the ball, and they moved to Tannehill.
And that's the mistake that a lot of offensive coordinators make. You have to if that's who you are. If Derrick Henry is the one that's going to get
you out the building, they just run you out the building.
You're going to have to keep them off the field and be who you are. If you try to be something you're not, that's when you get beat, and that's what happened to the Titans. That game was not that game in the first half. You said it could have gone either way, and then you know what? When Henry stopped getting carries, he's like the Titans have absolutely no chance. When you look at this Texans defense, I look at it like this: DJ Reader is gone, DJ Dunny. Blackson, Watkins, Blacklock, all these guys are going to have to come in and collectively pick up for what DJ Reader left off. And if they can do that, that's what's going to allow them to get to those other pieces on the offensive side of the ball to where that they can beat a team like the Colts and the Titans and win the division. If I'm putting my money on it, I'm saying the Texans are going to win this division because I don't believe in Phillip Rivers. But I do know this. I don't think that the Colts are depending on Phillip Rivers to win them ball games. They're depending on that offensive line, and they're depending on those running backs. And if they do that, they're going to be right there with the Texans the whole way, and it's going to be a critical play here or there that's going to determine who's going to win when it comes to that. And the same thing with the Titans. They're not going to put the game in Tannehill's hand, because if they do, that's playing into whoever they're going against favor, especially the Texans. They're going to put the ball in the hand of Derrick Henry and whatever other running back they have there. I don't know if what's my guy that came from New England that used to be there?
Yeah, I've lost his name.
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah.
Whoever they have at that running back spot, they're going to put the ball in their hands in order to beat the Texans. And so those lunch pail crew guys are going to have to step up in order for the Texans to win those type of ball games. Because if they don't, if that loss of DJ Reader is pronounced and noticeable, that's going to be the difference maker to determine, can the Texans come back and repeat as a division champion?
Yeah, and I'm just saying, I feel like the offense has a chance to put them into a position where they got no choice but to put the game in Phillip and Ryan Tannehill's hands.
And you know what? The offense has the pieces to do so. You're absolutely right. They have the pieces to do so. Can the philosophy match up with the change in pieces? Yep. And if it does, then you're right. The Texans will be able to be a much more explosive offense and be able to start faster in ball games. I just believe it when I see it.
Lineups coming up with the Astros. I don't think you've ever experienced the lineups.
What we got going on here, Show?
We do the lineups. We get them going here. I don't know. I did
it's
it.
It's
on
a way only Show can do it. Wade.
I did it on an accident one day.
Yeah, I'm gonna let Show do what he's doing. This is his show. You know what I mean? I'm just riding. I'm riding the passenger seat. You know what I mean?
He does it a way only he could. That's all I can say.
Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner today. This just came down. God, little shot Rob Manfred again.
Little
shot Rod has done it again.
The Cubs Cardinals series this weekend is now canceled postponed due to
Cardinals still tripping.
Yeah, the Cardinals had some more people test positive, so that series, and because last week Rob, you know, he tried to put the hammer down, and he came out and told Tony Clark that, hey, if this thing doesn't improve, Tony Clark, the MLB Players Association president, if this thing doesn't improve, the end of the season might be in jeopardy. I forgot to ask Richard Justice that, if he thought this season was going to end, but this certainly does not help. Now, this is like 10 teams now that have been affected and have had to miss games due to this.
So what's going on in Missouri, bro? Like the Royals and the Cardinals – a lot of positive tests. What's going on, man?
I don't know.
What's going on in
the
Show Me
State? What's going on with them St. Louis cats?
Come on, that's where you from, man. You're the Show Me State. I'm asking you directly. If you ask me something about Texas, I'm going to have an answer for you. It could be right or wrong, but what's going on?
I don't know what's going on. St. Louis, they on their own side. I don't know what's going on.
Still Missouri.
I don't know what's going on over there. I don't venture. I don't know.
You don't go that way, huh?
But Kansas City, hopefully they got a handle on it. They seem to just do whatever the hell they want to do, right? They have a guy test positive who played in an inter-squad game, and they just keep on rolling.
But y'all feel all right, right? Let's just go ahead and play. We good?
They didn't stop a practice. Didn't cancel one. Had a player play an inter-squad game.
Hey, we moving forward,
baby.
Had
a catcher who's around everybody on the field.
Hey, that's in the past.
Just
we
kept
ain't
on
worried
moving,
about
baby.
That.
That was just, you mean 7 hours ago? Yeah, that was just yesterday. All right, tonight Zach Greinke goes, and he's on the bump, man. What are you – we did this last night, and maybe this is a good look. We did this with Brandon Bielak last night. He surpassed all of our expectations.
Yeah.
What is acceptable for you tonight from Zach Greinke in a huge, huge game and series against the Oakland A's?
I need 6 innings pitched, and I need only 3 earned runs, or 3 runs total. I don't care if they're earned or not. But if he can give up only 3 runs and 6 innings pitched, the Astros will win the game tonight. That's what I need.
I ain't gonna be greedy, man. Just give me 5. Give me 5 and 3.
You're depending on these bats a little bit too much.
The bats
have shown you that they're not quite
They do lead the league in runs.
They do, but they've had some big. They've had some huge outputs, and then in critical games, they kind of not showed up the way you might want them to. And you lost Springer. I'm just saying you asked
asking
a lot.
That's why I took it down. I took it down to 3 runs.
Okay.
It would have been 4. I would have just asked for 4 if Springer was in there, but I took it down to 3. Let's do it. Here we go. We get the lineups in. We do this each and every night. The Astros play. This is a rough one, man. They need this series. They need this series in the worst way.
I liked your voice.
All right, here we go. Touch them all, Astros. Leading off, playing left field. Good God, George. Playing left field. You know show loves Tampa Tuck. Tampa Tuck, Kyle Tucker. Just get a damn hit. Can you please? Batting second and playing second. The man who made me eat bananas and hot sauce. He may be 5'6", but he carries the big stick.
Excuse.
Mr. Shake, Rattle, and Roll coming at you, baby. Jose Altuve. And batting third and playing third. Mr. Swagtastic himself, a.k.a. Nino Brown, a.k.a. am I my brother's keeper? You damn right he is. The real A.B., Alex Bregman. And batting fourth, the designated hitter. Mr. Professional, I said Mr. Professional. He hails from Bellevue, Washington. Michael Brantley. And batting fifth, the first baseman. Championship hair at his finest. He's Cuba's finest. Yuli Gurriel. And batting sixth. Don't you dare call him Carlos. That's Los to you, baby. He is Mr. She knows.
She knows.
She knows. The shortstop, Los Correa. And batting seventh from Savannah, Georgia, the right fielder, Josh Reddick.
Woo!
And batting eighth, move the hell over, Deion Sanders. Move the hell over, Tyreek Hill, the fastest man in the world. Suck it. Suck it, Bolt. Suck it. It's center field, Miles Straw. And rounding out the catcher, the blonde bomber, Mr. Machete to you, Martin Maldonado. Touch them all, Astros. Tyler, great job. Great week, Wade. You were fantastic. I know you got to look. What, you going to be real? I need you.
It's always real.
Texans All Access behind us. Have a great weekend. Get drunk. Have a good time. We are out of here.
Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.